Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Scratch a Track podcast presented by the Dude and Grim Show and co-produced by Mr. IVEST. I'm the Dude.
And I am Grim, and today we're going to talk about I Can't Hold It Up because they never pressed it on vinyl. But we are going to talk about LP by Ambulance Limited. It's ironic that it's called LP and it has never been on an LP.
LP, yeah. I'm curious how many people out there, one, have heard of this band and know the story of this band, because it's an interesting story that I don't know if a lot of bands have a story like this.
Yeah,
it's
pretty, I first became aware of this album near the time it was released, I think, by none other than show producer Mr. IVEST, and forever grateful for that because it has always been one of my favorites. In fact, in preparing for this episode and re-listening to the album, I just went ahead and did it twice in a row because it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, the band itself is currently residing in the Where Are They Now file.
Yeah.
You know, the members have gone on and done other things. But I mean, essentially, they, you know, a couple of guys is Michael DeLibido and this Longstreth. I don't know his first name, started the band in Cleveland. And then Marcus Congleton joined a year later. Now, he's the one who sort of
became the principal songwriter, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's sort of my understanding.
Yeah.
And he is like the front man.
His voice, I mean, he's the voice.
I think all the songs. Yeah. And he's the one who, after the band disbanded, like he's the one who legally acquired the name and kept the name and everything.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of funny because I guess I always think of like when bands start, usually, I mean, not that he wouldn't be a founding member, but he joined like a year later.
And yeah, it's just interesting. It's like Gilmore with Floyd. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
A couple years later, right?
That's yeah. But essentially, so they were signed to this TVT, gave them a record contract pretty much from just seeing them live and whatnot. And then they pressed this album, which was released in 2004. And then it came out like a year later in the UK. Which I thought that's, you know, to put it out a year later, that's a while. But even before the album came out, a couple of the members already left and went to other bands, like Matthew Dublin and Darren Beckett left to form the Red Romance, which I'm not overly familiar with. But I don't know if that's a good decision or not. But that's also an interesting thing just to like, hey, we just got done recording this album. We're going to go form a new band.
Well, the only thing I would ask is, it says here that this album, despite its, I don't want to say lack of notoriety, but maybe sort of minimal amount of notoriety, still went on to sell more than 100,000 copies. I wonder if Red Romance did the same.
Ooh, that is a good question.
Sales are the only thing that matter. But I just highly doubt that the shit is this good. Sorry, I just do.
They don't hurt. Yeah. So initially, we'll get to probably some more history of the band in a minute. I mean, dude, this album, I mean, I think you and I were talking about this and maybe I asked the question. I was like, gosh, is this the best album a band has put out that's only put out one album? You know, like a one album wonder. I was trying to think of other bands. Like, are there, and we would love it if you guys have other bands that have been like put out in just an amazing album that you've been like really into and excited about. And then you never hear from them again, or they go on and do other projects and whatnot, because this is just exceptional work, man. It's really good.
Now I can tell you that there are some other ones, and I think one that comes to mind, I have to look to make sure, but I want to say, dude, the band Big Star. I could be wrong on that. Or, dude, Operation Ivy's Energy. That's considered a one album. That's a fantastic one. But I want to say that Big Star, that is widely considered one of those. But again,
yeah,
tell us below.
Like, subscribe, yeah, and comment below.
Just to confirm.
Did Temple of the Dog only do one album?
Yeah. You know, that was a one album wonder and a super group.
And a super group. I mean, damn, checking multiple boxes there.
Mm-hmm.
But so essentially, it seems like, you know,
New Radicals.
There's not a lot of. The New Radicals. You got the music in you. It's interesting because there's not a lot of information out there about kind of the band and them breaking up or anything like that. And it's probably because they never got that big and a lot of people maybe didn't care. But it would be curious to know, like, you know, what was the reason they all left the band? I mean, I imagine it would be sort of creative differences and things like that with Marcus Congleton, right? Like, I mean, assuming that's
you would think, but I don't case. Know for sure.
But it's like, man, everybody in the band left to go do their own projects and whatnot. And so, you know, this band came out, and then I remember this album had been out. And I had been following them and like on their MySpace page. And then they had put out like some videos, and I had heard that they were working with John Cale from the Velvet Underground on like the new material, or at least Marcus was.
Yeah.
And he was in LA like writing new material and everything. And they had like, you know, a couple little, like there was, I think I shared with you like a little clip or a little documentary that somebody put together, and it just had some of them in the studio working on tracks, yep, and interviews and stuff. And I was just like excited for that. And then it was one of those things you just kept waiting for and waiting for and waiting for. And essentially what happened is the record company TVT had to file for bankruptcy. Wow. Because there was, another record company called Slip and Slide. So TVT had actually, they had put out stuff by Nine Inch Nails. I think they did Pretty Hate Machine. They did stuff with Snoop Dogg, Ja Rule, and also the Black Crowes and Jimmy Page. So like it's not like they were just like a mom and pop shop record label.
Yeah.
Like they had some acts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but they had also had a rapper by the name of Pitbull. And apparently TVT had tried to block the sale of this Slip and Slide's record of that. And anyways, it went to court and the judge ruled against TVT in favor of Slip and Slide for like $9 million. And TVT was just like, yeah, we're done. So they had to file for bankruptcy. And since then, So basically all the, you know, the tapes and everything were owned by TVT. And so all this stuff just kind of got frozen essentially. And now it has been bought and passed on the tapes, the contracts and all that stuff to multiple, jeez, multiple people. And
that's so wild, man.
So it just hasn't been put out, and I don't know if it will. I don't know if Marcus has made any attempt to like, you know, to say, hey, let me buy these from you, or has any interest, or like, dude, you could. Now, I don't know if they own the actual songs. I don't know what the contract is, but it's like, man, can you just like re-record the songs? Like, what? There's got to be something to do.
I thought that he owned the songs. I thought I read that he owned the publishing rights, but if he doesn't own the masters, then
yeah, I don't know. So.
It's a shame, man. That like, dude, Marcus, if you want to start a band, like, dude, I got a bunch of shit. Like, I'm ready to go.
Dude, call him up.
Yeah.
Call him. Just send us an email.
Dude, after you like, subscribe, comment below. You can kind of, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Well, he is currently, Grim, in a new band. I'm not sure if you would vibe with this, but the new band is called Drug Cabin.
I did not see the title of the band, which I like.
I feel like I should check it out, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Drugs, a cabin. But here's the thing is we hadn't heard any of these. And Grim, using your high IQ, did a simple YouTube search.
Yeah.
And you can actually, there are tracks out there. And what I forget how many there were. There was like 15 or so.
Yeah,
I think. And
14.
So there's a YouTube video that has all the tracks kind of split up into individual songs. And some of the titles did pop out that I had heard or read that, you know, they were tracks that he was working on for the album. Now, here's the thing. I only listened to a handful of them, and we have no way of knowing, like, are these final, right? Are they?
Oh, sure. Are these, or were they just rough mixes?
Are they still, are these demos? Are they still putting stuff in? So is that, we don't know, but it's out there. And if you want to listen to it, and you can.
It's pretty sweet that he was working with John Cale, though. Like, that is pretty cool. I was incorrect. Also, Big Star was not a one album wonder, but dude, a lot of really interested. Blind Faith. Now there's a super group. Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, Stevie Winwood.
They were just like Jack Bruce. Sorry.
Yeah. I forget who was playing bass for him, but those were the main guys. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Some interesting one album wonders. Temple of the Dog was on that list. Mother Love Bone.
Ooh.
That some of those guys went on to form Pearl Jam.
Damn. All right.
Yeah, mate.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty much what I think I have, you know, on the background of the album.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot either. It's just interesting that I would like to know more about the recording process, because it was said that part of it was done in London and New York, and I just think that would be interesting. And I wonder if that inspired the song that ended up on their EP, the New English EP, which is great, called Arbuckle Swan Song in New English. Yeah. Arbuckle Swan Song is maybe the best song they ever did.
Arbuckle Swan Song. So here's the deal. Yeah, if you guys like this band, I would definitely check out the New English. It's called the New English EP.
Oh, it's fantastic. Got, dude,
some great songs, dude. It's got a cover of Pink Floyd's Fearless, version of it. It's got demos of a couple of tracks that are on this album. And then the last track is called Straight A's. So on this album, the U.S. version,
I was going to go into this next.
Yeah, it has the cover of Ocean by the Velvet Underground. The U.K. version, they replaced that with the track Straight A's.
Oh, which is the Ocean. Dude, the Ocean actually would have been just a great way to end the album. It's kind of tough because it's always ended like that, because that's the version I have from the CD. But like, that's a really good song. And I actually didn't know that song. I'd like to know what Velvet Underground album it's on.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely not on Loaded. It's not on the Velvet Underground and Nico, which is the Banana Peel.
So there is, I believe, Unloaded Disc 2. There is a demo, I believe, of Ocean. And then on, there is some album. I don't know if it was like a B-side or something that was out there. But I did find like an actual, like, proper recording of it.
Nice.
So the Velvet Underground.
I think the way he sings really would lend itself well to a Lou Reed song, assuming that that's a Lou Reed song. I'm going to assume
that. I imagine. Yeah,
because they weren't all, is. Especially once you get to Loaded. Yeah.
Well, they put it on the Super Deluxe Edition. It's on the Super Deluxe Edition of the Velvet Underground.
That's their second album?
I guess it is, right?
Because I think their first one was called The Velvet Underground and Nico, and then I think it was The Velvet Underground, and then I think Loaded would have been third. If I could be wrong on that, but
yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah
I don't know.
Anyways.
But yeah, it is on, it's on disc 4 of the Velvet Underground 45th Anniversary Super Deluxe Edition. So,
wow.
And we'll talk about it. I listened to it. So when we get to the track at the end, you know, we can talk about it a little more.
Well, I almost want to talk about it now, because I don't consider that part of the proper album. That is a bonus track.
Yeah. I mean, that's
like
fair.
To me, that is not that I would scratch it anyways, but it's not in bounds to scratch, in my opinion, because it's a bonus track.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. So listening to it, the songs are very similar, and his vocals and everything, actually, like, you know, the way Lou Reed sings it, at least on this recording that I've heard, I find that it's not like a reworking of the song. You know, sometimes covers are sort of like a, you know, it's a completely different version. It's more of a tribute, and it has the same kind of tempo and
kind of like Fearless,
everything like that.
Like what they did with Fearless. Yeah. I mean, they weren't really trying to, reinvent the wheel.
Recreate it. Yeah, yeah. So I felt that they were very similar. It's not like they took it in some crazy different direction or anything. So so if you're a Velvet Underground fan, you'll probably dig it, I would hope. So all right, Grim. Should we go ahead and get into the track?
Yeah. Yeah, we should. For goodness sakes, we should.
All right. Track number one. Yoga means union. Is that true? I have no idea if like yoga actually means union, or is like a saying? Do people say that? I have no idea.
It seems to stand to reason. I mean, I could do just a quick little search here and look it up, but
does yoga mean union? Or well, people could just, let us know just below. Just
put yoga.
Yeah. What's the meaning? What is the meaning? Yeah, I don't know if you...
But anyways, I think it's a nice... It's really a nice way to start the album. I mean, I think it sets the tone. Not to say that things don't, you know, go in waves and go higher and lower, but I think it sets a nice tone for sort of a I don't know, just like a baseline for what the rest of the things, like a starting point rather for the rest.
Yeah, it definitely gives you the feel. Kind of the album. Yeah. Now I'm curious though, because it is an instrumental. So mm-hmm. How do you feel about that in general? Like starting the album with an almost 5 minute instrumental. It's one thing, you know, we like STP did Press Play or whatever on Tiny Music which is awesome.
Fantastic.
But
I think it's a little long, but to me, it doesn't feel long when you listen to the record. I think that things change enough in the song. It goes into some other alleys, avenues, poses, if you will, being that it's yoga. I don't see anything yoga meaning union.
There's definitely some downward dog in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Child's pose.
Some warrior pose.
Yeah.
But yeah. It does do enough that I think it keeps it moving to the point where I'm never bored. To listen
That's
to
fair.
It. I can't say I skip it.
Yeah.
It's not my scratch.
It's not my I don't think it's my scratch either. So all right. Well, now let's go on to track number two. Primitive. The Way I Treat You.
My favorite.
Yeah, it's definitely up there.
The riff. The riff is fantastic.
It's badass. Now, this is we will talk about the other singles. This was the third single off the album. It might have been I might have put this first.
Oh, hell yeah. Not Heavy Lifting.
Yeah.
I like Heavy Lifting, but dude, no. That is, I don't know who the hell chose that as a lead-off single, but... I think that was a stupid choice. I wouldn't even release that as a single, quite honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk about that when we get to the track. But like this one just lends itself to a single. Really good transitions, good musical arrangement. And the opening riff, you're just like, man, like, dude, back in the day when like, you know, people obviously radio. Well, back in the day when people listened to music like on the radio.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, I could just hear like
somebody
talking over it, right over the intro and everything. And then boom, you just get into it. Like, you can totally hear that. So then we go to track number three. Dude, this has always been one of my favorite on the album, man. The acousticness of it is just sweet, man.
It sounds like, based on the lyrics, it would sound like somebody flirting with heroin.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear that?
Interesting.
Then you fall back asleep and wander down the street that users lose.
Well, it's kind of... It's kind of funny you say that, though, because I feel like there's
elements of the circulation to your hand. I mean, dude, there's...
Dude, it's got some Stranger action going on.
Oh, maybe it's about doing this. It's about the Stranger.
Could be about the Stranger. Oh, but
see that episode.
Yeah. But it's funny you say that, though, because there's parts of this song that actually remind me of like Elliott Smith.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
And, just the way the song kind of hops along and everything, almost like an Independence Day Elliott Smith track, you know,
dude,
like,
which is you take awesome the first track. One and you take the first one for free and pass it along to me. I don't refuse. You see, you tried it several times. You're still not sure. I don't know, man. It's if it's
that's a good point.
You dim the lights and administer the cure. I mean, it's very. I don't know. Listen, I've always thought that you've always thought it was a drug reference, but there are specific things.
You're disappointed in the way she looks. Maybe you're disappointed in, you know, like Mother Superior, right? Like in the way she looks. So interesting. Wow. Let us know below what you guys think this track is kind of relating to.
Man, yeah.
It's, oh, dude, it's an awesome track. Mm-hmm. Now,
I like the piano. Like, ding, 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 oh, ding. Yeah, dude, the way it dances, so, kind of, it's nice.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, dude, it's badass.
First single.
Track number four, Heavy Lifting. Yeah, I love this song. Mm-hmm. I think it's great, but I would not put it as the first single because it's really straightforward and all the guitars are just like, da-na-na-na-na. Like there's not like musically, it's not awesome. Now it does kind of have that sort of ending section.
Oh, the ending like section is that, great, dude.
You know, the guitar playing on there is really, it's just like a really nice little riff thing that,
it's very Pink Floyd-y, I think, in the end.
Yeah, definitely. And so I do like that, but again, I
don't know that, to me, I don't know that I would have chose this as a single. I don't know. But
there's a couple other
good,
tracks.
Really good lyrics, too.
Yeah,
lifting there's a couple is an other awful lot of pain. I'm going pain, to be sore for sure.
Soothe your bones with the papers of a man that you know. His kids are really going to grow and leave their daddy home.
I don't even know what that means.
Neither do I. All right, then we go to track number five. Ophelia.
This is a really good one, and I was trying to find stuff about them and happened upon some sort of a blog message board thing, and there was more than one person that like really had it out, and I don't mean in a bad way, like they were really like, Ophelia's one of the best songs ever, and there's actually a lot of songs named Ophelia. The band has a song named Ophelia. Like it could be a Songs of the Same Name episode if people responded to that, which they didn't. But this one is really good. I don't know. It has a good feel to it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it does. And one thing about some of their songs too is they have these little transitions and sounds that give their stuff just a little bit of a darker tone.
Yeah,
sometimes. Uh-huh. You know. I'm here.
Now, I got to ask you, and I should have done this.
I just don't trust you
to... Baby. Yeah. All over the streets of the town, I'm walking around.
I'm late for hundreds of things.
Yeah.
You know.
I was going to ask you, and I should have before we got in the tracks, but if you were to choose a season that you would most closely associate this album with, what is it?
I would probably have to say more of the summertime for me.
More of the what?
Summertime, I think.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels very fall to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would say almost like, you know, when like I say this, I'm 41, but like as school is starting, you know, like kind of end of the summer going into fall. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't know okay. I don't know when I got into it. I'm not sure. I'm probably the same time you guys did, but.
Was it March 23rd, 2004, the day it was released?
I doubt it. I was not that hip to things. Still not that hip to things.
Yeah, for real.
I just don't trust you now, baby. All right. Then we go to track number 6. Stay Where You Are.
One of my favorites. One of my other favorites.
Dude. So, I mean, so awesome. If I had one criticism of the song is that it has this long 2-minute intro. But that sort of kind of builds up. Now, they cut that out on the single and the music video. So that
the intro. Oh, interesting. Okay.
It just starts playing. It just starts playing.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
But man, like. And this was a single, I believe they, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, second single. They,
yeah.
2005, February 28th.
Dude, it just has a nice flowy feel, man. It's just very, like, I love, it's just so smooth, man.
And I just like, just I'm trying, don't you know. That line, the way he delivers that line is really good.
Yeah.
Dude, stay where you are. I might not be the one that's true, but I'm trying.
Stay where you are, I'm right behind you.
Yeah.
It's not
they're burning
at
hotels down. Yeah, I like that. It's good. Uh-huh. Good shit in there.
Then we move to track number 6, Sugar Pill.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I've always liked this song. I think this could have been a single.
Yeah, I think it would have been a good choice. It's actually not one of my favorites on the album. And that's not to say that I'm going to scratch it. But it just, to me, it gets a little too repetitive with the
do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah,
like it
does
kinda,
stick on that a bit.
Yeah, and it still goes even after like the rest comes in.
Ba-doom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. Ding, the way it's a really good song, and I just... The lyrics, it's very well written. Dude, I love you for the time that you killed my sugar.
Yeah.
I do think it's weird how he says my sugar pill.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting. It's like, you know, and going off that lyric, I love you for the time that you killed it. I mean, is it sort of like, you think he's like referring to an actual person? Like
oh,
a relationship
absolutely.
That he
yeah.
had?
Oh, yeah.
Almost as if they were just like a
fling.
I don't know. A fling.
Yeah.
A filler, a time filler.
Yeah.
Right?
A hole in the wall.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Evil, that was for you, my friend.
There you go. All right, Grim. Track number 8, Michigan.
Travel to seaside Michigan. Walk on the water with a friend.
Dude.
Well,
love
I mean,
this song.
We're here in Michigan, so.
I just. The only thing that's funny that I don't think you could get away with today is how he says that he's sucking wine like an Indian.
Probably not.
I don't think that would really fly to, and I'm only saying that quoting, so let's not get canceled over that. But
no,
please
don't. We're almost 1,000 subscribers.
I really love this song. I always have. I think it's just got the nicest sort of chill tone and.
It sounds like what it's supposed to be, just kind of like on this
walking
warm,
on the beach,
breezy, yeah, breezy day, just like.
And I'm like,
walking
this is about
the
time
beach.
Somebody wrote a song like that.
Yeah. Now,
you know?
What I really want to know
is
where was he? Are we talking about a specific like beach? Like, you know, are we talking Grand Haven? Are we talking
fuck that, man. Go up north.
Sleeping Bear Dune. Yeah,
yeah
north.
Go up
going
north.
Up north.
Yeah, that's the water's so much. You want to talk about blue waves? They're real fucking blue up there.
Yeah. All right. All right. Track number 9, Grim.
Stay tuned.
Again, I love this, dude. I've loved this song too, man. I just love the way it strums with the acoustic in the opening, and then goes.
I like when he gets into the stay tuned part. They got kind of that slide that's like, yeah, very much reminds me of the way Harrison does the slide on My Sweet Lord.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. I like this song because, dude, I feel like the way he sings it, it's kind of a little attitude, a little swagger to it.
Yeah.
His voice is very,
I mean, I don't want to say flat, but do you know what I mean? It's not overly animated. Yeah. But you're right. This is a pretty.
But it's got this psychedelic, even poppy sound too. Mm-hmm. Like when it gets into this, stay pretty.
Yeah.
You know, I'll come back sometime and soon. Yeah. Yeah. So I've always, I don't know.
Well,
I
would pick this.
Stay tuned.
Not.
I would have picked this as a single over Heavy Lifting.
Turn off. Turn on. Tune in and drop out. Stay tuned.
No. Stay tuned. All right, Graham. Track number 10. Swim. Kind of a trippy song.
It's almost very much like he was like, man, somebody already wrote the fucking ocean. What can I do here? But it reminds me of that.
It's building off of Michigan, right? It's like, okay, he was on the beach,
dude,
having a walk. The water was blue. And he's like,
scratch,
dude,
stay tuned. But if I did scratch stay tuned, it would be pretty fucking sweet to go from Michigan right into swim. I mean, you got to admit.
Michigan, swim, and then the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, sorry.
Yeah, I should fucking say double scratch, Young Urban Shoot.
I think it's just ocean. Is it just ocean?
The ocean.
It's the ocean. Yeah. So isn't that what do you call it?
It's a bonus track.
Led Zeppelin's The Ocean, right?
Oh, songs.
Songs are the same name.
We keep coming up with this, and dude, it was a great idea. I guess the world was not ready yet, but it was a great idea.
Maybe one of these days we'll bring it back. All right. Here I am again, my friend. All right. This song's pretty trippy. It's got this, like, this weird bendy kind of guitar sound.
They do that in several where they really, I like it.
And, you know, I've shaken hands with Native Lands.
Yeah.
I don't, okay. Like, is he talking about Canada or just
anywhere is a native land? Anywhere. I mean, provided native being not white, you know, like it is not our native land. We just kind of came here and we're like, hey, we're going to take everything. You can go over there, but you can take our money. So here's it's good. So we're good, right? Fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, Grim. Let's
Young go with Urban.
Number 11. Young Urban. So this, I guess what we're saying is officially and is finishes the album for us, for our
Younger purposes. Yeah. Bonus tracks Younger. Don't count, okay. Man.
Okay. This is it. Yeah. I mean, you know, at least to me, the song is it's very soft and just kind of chill.
Yeah. It almost sounds like it would have made more sense on the New English EP. I don't know why I say that, but that is always caught me like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like
that. Like, dude, bow, God, New English should have been on this fucking album. And Arbuckle Swan. Ugh.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have the New English EP. It would be
But dude, let's face it. Like, the other songs are good on there. Don't get me wrong. But, I would demos. Definitely propose a trade. I'd propose a trade.
That's a fun game to play. What tracks are we trading, man?
Proposing a trade. It's our new podcast.
Yeah.
For anything that has like bonus tracks or an EP that immediately followed, you want to propose
people
a trade.
People are gonna love the shit out of that. So wait, you guys scratch tracks off an album and you make trades?
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, that's exactly what we do.
Yeah, it's the same thing they do in sports. They make trades and they get rid of people. Like,
here's the deal. If you don't get it, you're not invited.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
But while you're at it, go ahead and like, subscribe, and comment below.
Exactly. It can only help us in the algorithm. You know, to me, I don't know. Not a lot stands out. It just kind of like build and build. It just is. Yeah, I think you are right. Like, I could definitely see it being on the New English EP.
Could you imagine, dude? Just come with me on this journey for 1 minute. Imagine that swim ends and it's just silent. And then you just hear that fucking Wurlitzer fading in. and it's Arbuckle's swan song. It's the last song in the album. Like, how goddamn awesome would that be? It would just be.
Yeah. So it says on Arbuckle's swan song, I know we're a little tangent here, Matthew Dublin wrote that. So he must be the one singing it.
Well, he should have wrote more because it's a freaking awesome song. Yeah. So good. Do I look all that bad all the time?
Huh?
Dude, the last one at the party never has their shit together. That Did is it? One of the best never fucking
has
lines.
Has the shit together. Yeah. And Arbuckle Swan song plays on the flight.
All the way.
I could hear it from LA to Hong Kong.
Now, what is LA to Hong Kong? I know Chicago to Hong Kong's like 14 hours, I want to say.
It's actually probably still pretty close to that because Chicago is
you're going up and over north, as opposed to around. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. The curvature of the earth definitely cuts that down. So it's probably not short. But anyways, all right. Time to scratch these tracks. Now, I guess we can talk about our favorite ones real quick. I would say, I mean, Anecdote, I like a lot. Primitive, I mean, dude, there's a bunch. Stay Where You Are. Those are probably my favorite tracks, I guess.
Yeah, Primitive, Ophelia, Michigan. Ophelia. All right, dude, can I just throw out a quick wager? There's a good possibility I'm going to be going back to Asia soon. Ooh, strong possibility. Okay. Now, if I do...
Yeah, play Arbuckle Swan song the whole time. You're on the flight.
I could. Okay. If what do we need to, because I can't just bet you.
Okay, I have no idea. I don't know what we're betting, but
I don't either. I'm just thinking of what record
all I know want. Is you're going
to what record I would want if I can pull it off. What's it
like an import? You want to get an import? Yeah,
I don't know.
This one,
yeah, oh, god, yeah,
find the Japanese
just import. Get the master tapes and press it
exactly. So, all right, we ready to scratch?
Yep.
Okay.
I scratched last time. You're on the team.
All right, I guess I'm going first. All right, well, you better go ahead and get your WTIFIS.
You motherfucker. I know what you're doing.
And yeah, dude, I'm scratching Michigan, man.
Travel to seaside Michigan. Walk on the water with a friend.
Dude, I am scratching Michigan.
Oh, like, what a dick. You're from Michigan. You now finally came back to Michigan and you're going to scratch Michigan. Oh, man. I need a new sound that says, like, what a fucking asshole.
You probably should. I mean, dude, it's just I've never, like, I think it's I love Sugar Pill and I love Stay Tuned. And Michigan just takes it down too much for me. I mean, maybe if it was later in the album, because I'm trying to think. I don't know. Because you could have put Michigan after Stay Tuned and then gone right into Swim.
I mean,
you could have done that.
Fantastic transition as well.
But I've always, I think one of the biggest reasons is splitting up Sugar Pill to Stay Tuned for me. I just love those songs like so much.
I understand. Like, yeah, sure.
I will skip Michigan to get to Stay Tuned. I just will. So that's what I got. All right, Graham. That's what are you scratching, man?
Well, we're not going OT. I'll sure as shit tell you that much. I would scratch Young Urban.
Okay.
Right. Like if the way Swim ends, if the album ended with Swim, it would almost be like a nice bookend to the way Yoga Meets Uni. You know what I mean? And I just, like I said, I guess I kind of foreshadowed it by saying like that could just as easily go on the new English EP. So that's what I would scratch. And with my scratch, I would propose a trade as mentioned for Arbuckle Swan song.
So you'd actually end, you would like to swap out Young Urban and end the album with Arbuckle. I can't swap.
That's not the game. The game is what would you scratch? I would scratch Young Urban.
Okay, so we play the game of if you had to, but we're going to play a quick game of if you could. So.
If I'm rubbing the bottle and the genie comes out, I am definitely putting Arbuckle Swan song at the end.
Here's the thing.
And I'm going to listen to it all the way on the flight from, well, in my case, it would probably be more like Chicago to Hong Kong.
On your way to,
I was waiting to
Detroit. The thing is, and I love Arbuckle's Swan Song, but it doesn't fit with anything on the rest of this album.
I know
it's that good, though. It's that good.
It is. I mean, it is that good.
It also doesn't fit with anything on New English EP. It is very, like, and a song that just stands on its own, but it's excellent. So
now I like that also, very much a side note here, but I like that the cover of the new English EP, that's actually a Wurlitzer electric piano with the top off. So you're just seeing the guts of it, which in working on my Wurlitzer electric piano, I saw that picture a fucking lot.
I bet you did. I bet you did. So, all right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up here, Grim. Yeah. We would love to know if anybody out there, I mean, I imagine if you're watching this, you're probably a fan of Ambulance Limited. But if you're new and this is new music for you, let us know what you guys think. Hopefully we've introduced you into something you haven't heard before. I know a lot of times we'll pick more mainstream stuff or stuff that
easier,
people will know.
Easier things.
But this is definitely probably one of our maybe lesser known kind of albums.
Favorites.
And there's also, and it's definitely one of our favorites. So if you guys know of some other lesser known stuff you guys would like us to check out, we would definitely, we always look forward to recommendations. So on that note, Grim,
it's
time to go on the Dude and Grim Show.
Scratcher Track is produced by the Dude and Grim. Additional music provided by Moore and the Tings. Copyright 2023. The Dude and Grim Show.